The number of data breaches worldwide rises every year, going up by 211% from 2023 to 2024, due mainly to five mega breaches. Scams, identity theft, they all start with your personal data being exposed across various websites. It's on people search sites, in data broker databases, shady directories, AI answers, and even search results. That's the part most people don't see. Their home address, phone number, email accounts, and social security number aren't just leaked. They're being actively bought and sold by bad actors. But you can protect yourself now with Incogni. Incogni tracks down and removes your personal data from multiple sites, including online directories, people search sites, and even commercial databases. The Incogni process is fully automated for hundreds of known data brokers, companies that collect and sell your data without your consent. The categories of data brokers Incogni covers include marketing, recruitment, health information, risk mitigation, financial information, and people search sites. With Incogni, you can protect your privacy in three easy steps. Remember, they can't harm you if they can't find you. So, take back your personal data with Incogni. Use code INVESTTALK to get 60% off annual plans. Go to incogni.com/investtalk. You can also find the link in the episode description.
On radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers, this is InvestTalk. Independent thinking, shared success. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to InvestTalk. This is our Monday, November 25th, 2025 edition, and Thanksgiving is just a couple days away. And was it a Tuesday? It's Tuesday. It is Tuesday. Wow. Time flies. It is Tuesday, November 25th, and we're just a couple of days away from Thanksgiving, and then holiday season will be in full swing. I'm the host of InvestTalk, Justin Klein, and our job here each and every day is to help you become a better investor, navigate you through these challenging times, uncover and reveal exactly why markets are moving in certain ways, not just what the headlines say, but really what's going on underneath the surface, and really help you grasp how you should react in this market based on your goals, your risk tolerance level, the opportunities that are out there, and the pitfalls, the risks that are in markets as well, because there are always both. There are always opportunities, there are always risks, and you need to correctly identify them. And sometimes taking a certain amount of risk is important, almost always is. But you want to do that in a smart way. You want to do that in a way that puts the odds in your favor, as opposed to just taking wild risks. And so many in today's market are doing that through options and leverage and, you know, crazy investment strategies and gamma squeezes, all these things that are not really investing. It's more gambling, manipulation, etc. Our job is to bring you back to the basics and the fundamentals of real investing that can stand the test of time, not just a week, a quarter, a year, or even a handful of years. This is about the next decade and beyond. So that's what our mission is every single day on InvestTalk. And we also bring you other valuable tools such as our wealth webinars. And we do have one coming up in 2 weeks, 2 weeks from today, December 9th. Luke and I will be hosting a new InvestTalk Wealth webinar, and the title is Year-End Tax Toolkit, RMD Planning, Tax Loss Harvesting, Deferral Strategies. If you are one that says, I don't like to pay taxes, but you know, I have these gains that have been built up over time in some stock I've been holding, or some ETF or mutual fund I've been holding, or maybe I own some rental properties, I don't really want to be a landlord anymore, and you know, how do I sell these without taking major tax hits? Or maybe just at the end of the year you want to do some tax loss harvesting planning. These are all the things that we're going to talk about, and much more, Roth conversion strategies, etc., to really make sure that you know you are addressing the areas that make sense for you, so that you're not paying too much. You're never going to completely avoid the IRS, but you know, you want to limit that in legal ways. And so we'll talk about that and much more. Once again, coming up on December 9th, it's a free webinar, but you do have to pre-register at investtalk.com. Now, in just a bit, I'm going to talk about today's market performance and run down the show topics. But as usual, we'll tackle this first caller question now.
Hi, Justin and Luke. We just love your take on Albertsons, ticker ACI. It's been on my watch list for quite a few years, and I know it has fallen off ever since the acquisition didn't materialize. But fundamentally looks pretty sound to me, with the exception of the debt load they carry. So I was just curious if this is an opportunity to enter this position for a long term in a diversified portfolio. Thanks again. I'll listen on the podcast.
Well, I think you kind of highlighted it there. It does have a lot of debt, about $14 billion in long-term debt on a $10 billion market cap. That's hefty. And their, let's see, times interest earned is about 4. So they are earning enough to pay that interest, but it's going down. So over the past, let's see, since 2022, times interest earned peaked out at 6, meaning how much do they pay in interest and how many times that are they earning in profits? Okay. So it was 6 times, fairly healthy, decent. Now it's down to 4 times, not nearly as healthy. So that means for every $1 in earnings, they pay out for every $4 in earnings, they pay out $1 in interest to debt holders. And that is one of the big issues with companies that carry a lot of debt. It's not just that there's a risk of bankruptcy. It's that all this profit, it goes towards the bondholders, not the shareholders. And you as an equity holder, that's what you're talking about. You're buying equity. That is not ideal. Okay. And I don't love that. I don't love seeing so much money go to debt. And their debt is starting to rise once again. It was declining. And this most recent quarter, it started to tick back up. It bottomed around $13.5 billion. Now we're approaching back up about $14 billion. Now, earnings are supposed to be down 9% this year. They're down 19% last year. Supposed to bounce back a little next year. But, you know, it looks cheap, right? It's an $18 stock. And so it looks cheap. And on that basis, earnings basis, it is fairly cheap. But the problem is that cash flow flowing to debt holders and not you, the shareholders. So until that changes, until they can right-size their balance sheet, I just don't find a lot of reason to own the name. You know, its dividend had been going up and it's just been sitting sideways for a number of years now. So I just am not a fan. I think the technicals are starting to get a little bit better near term after it looks like earnings report in October. But overall, I don't see this as a good long-term hold. Now, we have a lot of ground to cover over the next 45 minutes or so, and time permitting, we'll cover it all. And our main focus point is about a dovish Fed pivot. And the December rate odds are increasing. Rate cut odds are increasing. And we'll talk about what all these Fed presidents are saying. And I'll give you my sense of what I'm expecting from the next Fed meeting and how the market might react to it. We also have other topics on the docket as well. One is in regards to Black Friday. Black Friday is coming up on Friday. And, you know, will you find bargains? And the National Retail Federation has some projections, and we'll dig into those. And then a big short fame, Michael Burry, put out a big blog post. He closed up his shop and he didn't say he was retired, but he's focusing more on his newsletter. It costs $39 a month. And he hinted at what he thinks was going on in AI. So we'll look at that story as well. So that's what's on the docket for me. But ultimately, this is about you. What's on your mind? Okay, that's what's most important. We also have voice bank calls. One is on NICE Limited, N-I-C-E is the symbol, as you would expect. And then question on buying options. And of course, we have questions that came in via the comment section over on Invest Talk, the Invest Talk YouTube channel. And of course, most importantly, A number one will always be your live call. So don't hesitate to give us a call right now at 888-99-CHART.
Serious investors are certain to have finance and investment questions.
What do you think is a good price?
And the best person to ask your question in the right way is you.
And I was wondering, from your standpoint, is there a downside in buying fractional shares versus whole shares?
And 24/7, rain or shine, Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero stand ready to provide their unbiased answers.
But technically, right now, I like it. I like the momentum. But once again, I don't like those fundamentals.
Now, while gold is hitting these record highs, it's driven by the safe haven demand, by central bank buying across the board.
Your participation makes InvestTalk better.
Calling to ask about Core in Maine.
This is Josh in North Carolina.
This is Marlo from New York City area.
Let's go take a live call. Sam from San Jose.
So don't forget to call InvestTalk.
Great insights. Thank you.
888-99-CHART. In the early days, InvestTalk was Jerry Klein and Steve Peasley. Now the torch has been passed and a new generation of hosts is on the job. Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero. So when you've got finance and investment questions, don't forget to call InvestTalk. 888-99-CHART.
Now, I just mentioned the upcoming Wealth webinar on December 9th, but before this happens, I recommend that you look at our new comprehensive Q4 Economic Market Outlook report. It's a free read, but you do need to download it over at investtalk.com. And my phone lines are open, waiting for you right now at 888-99-CHART. Now, let's take a quick look at the market today. And you had another strong day on the back of continued dovish comments out of Fed members, which we'll get to in a little bit. And you really had some strength out of names like Google and Microsoft and Meta, as it looks like Google is looking to open up its proprietary chips that they produce themselves for other companies like Meta. And NVIDIA was down because of that. Same with AMD. AMD down 4%, NVIDIA down 2.5% on the day. Netflix down 2.4%, but the rest of the market was mostly green outside of oil names were down slightly. But you had the finance sector was strong. Healthcare remains a very strong part of the market as well. You have industrials holding in there on top of that. So, and then retail, Walmart up 2.8%, Costco up 1%, Amazon up 1.5%, Home Depot up 4.3%. And I think this is on the back of, once again, a potentially more dovish Fed pivot. And that's what really drove the markets higher overall. You had the NASDAQ up 2/3 of 1%, but the S&P up nearly 1%. The NASDAQ continues to lag, especially as there's more consideration of changing landscape within the AI space. The Dow is up nearly 1.5% on the day, and small caps were the big winners, up about 2%. So that was the market for today. Let's see, do we have any economic news? You had September retail sales. That was up 0.2% month over month. The expectation was for it to be up 0.4%, below the August number of 0.6%. Okay, so a little bit of disappointment on that front. September delayed PPI increased 0.3%. month over month. That was in line with consensus. So obviously these are stale numbers, but still something the market is paying attention to. You had the dollar down 0.3%. Gold finished up 1.1% on the day. Bitcoin futures were down 2%. And that continues to be an area I am watching is, you know, what type of traction do we get to the upside for Bitcoin? It found support right around 81,000 back in on the 21st, and now it's at about 87, but it didn't really make a new high today. Overnight high was kind of around 89,000. Right now we're sitting at 87 and change. So you're not getting that kind of confirmation of Bitcoin really rallying in earnest, which is a message that is being sent to the markets that liquidity dynamics and rate changes, inflation expectation changes are not tailwinds to risk assets. Right now, they are a bit of headwinds. You had WTI crude down 1.5% on what looks like Ukraine peace deal volatility, as well as what might happen in Venezuela and us having some military action, unlocking some oil supply. So that was what weighed on WTI crude on the day. Now let's pivot and go to a question that came in via the Invest Talk YouTube channel. Randy23 says, "Hey guys, would love your take on ServiceNow as a long-term buy and hold in my Roth." Now, this has been a darling of the SaaS software space for a number of years. 2018, they earned $2.49. And this year, they're supposed to earn $17.37. And next year, up to $20.41. Think about that. If they hit their expected targets for next year in earnings, in under a decade, earnings have gone up tenfold. So clearly, it's a big winner in that sense. The worry, though, is that will AI suddenly usurp a lot of these SaaS software models? That is a huge question, and why it's kind of been selling off. I fade that a bit, to be honest with you, but certainly could weigh on the stock in the long term. So it's not one of those things that I just put in my Roth and forget it, because of the technological landscape just changes so fast. You're seeing that right now. So I do think it's a pretty good, a pretty decent value at these levels, but it wouldn't be a clear-cut buy and hold because of that risk from AI really upending their business model. Now we're moving to a break, still to come, my focus point and more answers to your questions. So I encourage you to call Invest Talk right now at 888-99-CHART.
Get ready for an all-new Invest Talk Wealth Webinar. Year-end tax toolkit, RMD planning, tax loss harvesting, and deferral strategies. It's all happening online and free of charge. The new Wealth Webinar, Tuesday, December 9th from 11 a.m. to 12 noon Pacific Time. Pre-register now at investtalk.com.
Now, my main focus point today on Invest Talk is about the dovish Fed pivot. You know, we have a Fed meeting coming up in December, and by every account or most accounts, it's been pretty divided on what the members think should happen going forward. And you have all types of opinions. And New York Fed President John Williams, he's a permanent voter because he's the vice chair of the Federal Open Market Committee. He said at a conference at the Central Bank of Chile recently that U.S. interest rates could fall without putting the Fed's inflation goal at risk. He said, quote, "I view monetary policy as being modestly restrictive. Therefore, I still see room for a further adjustment in the near term to the target range for the federal funds rate to move to the stance of a policy closer to the range of neutral." Basically saying, I'm okay with cutting. But he says that the job market appears to be softening and compared the September jobless rate to pre-pandemic years. Okay, so he said he expects price pressures to ease after tariffs pass through the economy. And that's kind of one argument here is that, yes, inflation is reaccelerating, but this is kind of a one-time adjustment. The tariffs roll through the economy. They eventually get taken up by goods producers and importers and pass it along whatever they can to the end consumer. And that ultimately flows through to inflation. And that's what you're seeing right now. But once that's in, it's done. And there's not much more adjustment from there. Then it's more about broader supply demand dynamics within the economy. And I certainly understand that. That makes some sense. And so that's why, even though the Fed funds rate is, or the inflation rate is above the 2% target, they still are erring on the side of cutting. because they're more worried about the labor market. And you had Susan Collins. She is the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston president. Said in a CNBC interview last Friday that she thinks monetary policy is in the right place given the economy's resilience. And she is a voting member this year, so she could dissent. You also have the Dallas Fed president, Lori Logan. She is not a voter this year, but she will be a voter next year. And she wants to hold rates steady. So those are just a few. And then more recently, you had Fed President Waller or Governor Waller, and he said he advocates for a cut in December and then a meeting by meeting approach. So those are kind of a smattering of opinions. Once again, kind of mixed, but the ultimate decision will be with Jerome Powell. Now, if you look at the odds right now, the market is pricing an 84% chance on December 10th, basically two weeks from tomorrow, that there will be a rate cut. That's basically pricing in a rate cut. Now, there are two options for Jerome Powell, which is basically number one is to cut rates in December, but signal to the market that there's a higher bar for further cuts going forward. Now, he only has four more meetings. So after this one, it'll be three more where he's in charge. And then there will be a new Fed president at the June meeting. So it could signal that, yeah, I'll cut, but the next three are up in the air. Don't bank on it. And frankly, I think that's what he will go with. And it will be what I call a hawkish cut, a hawkish pivot, which he did do back in 2019. Okay. So in 2019, he did the cut and then hold approach. And I think that makes sense because the data shows that they have so far does show more of a weakening labor market, a bit more than accelerating inflation, even though there is some signs of that as well. But you're going to need a lot more data here coming up after this Fed meeting. Once again, it's on the 10th. But you're going to get a bunch of data later this month, I believe the 16th, if I remember correctly. Where is this? I have it somewhere. There it is. Employment statistics for October and November will be released on December 16th. And on November, data on consumer prices will be due on December 18th. So you're going to get a lot more about a week or so after this Fed meeting, and that will color really exactly how they're going to feel going into that January meeting. It's all the way to the end of January. So you'll get a lot more economic data between now and then. And they could say it's a high bar. We're kind of doing this with an expectation that this data will come in weaker and that inflation won't really continue to accelerate and signal that. And that's a big question is how will the market react? How will the market react to that? Because right now, there is a 65% chance that they will cut next month and then not in January. Only a 23% chance they will cut in both months. So if they take that off the table of, hey, we're probably not going to cut in January, that could be another catalyst for a market sell-off. So that's what I'm expecting going forward. We shall see. Things can obviously change, but we'll be monitoring how those Fed presidents continue to jawbone the market one way or the other. And that's one of the reasons why the market has rallied recently is because you've had a lot more dovish commentary from many of them. Now, the next Invest Talk, we'll look at this topic for you, Buffett's $382 billion cash pile. That story tomorrow. But for now, I'm Justin Klein. I'm ready to take your calls at 888-99-CHART.
The calls are free. The unbiased answers are free. So what are you waiting for? Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Hi there, Luke and Justin. This is Matt from Minneapolis, longtime listener to the show. I have a situation here I'd like your assistance with, please. I have a couple stocks I would like to sell and take tax losses on this year. And also in my portfolio here with NVIDIA, right now it's about 15% of my portfolio. It was even higher, but it's dropped down from the $200 mark. I know I should...
This year, Give a gift that goes far beyond the moment. An Invest 529 account. Whether it's a child, grandchild, or someone just starting out, you're helping them save for education that could open doors for a lifetime. Invest 529 is a tax-advantaged way to save for college, trade school, or even apprenticeship programs. It's flexible, easy to start, and you can contribute any amount, big or small. You can even invite your friends and family to join in, making it a meaningful group gift. Each contribution helps build a brighter future, one deposit at a time. And because the money can grow tax-free, it's a gift that really builds value over time. So instead of giving something that gets used up or set aside, give the gift that can change a life. Start an Invest 529 account today. Go to invest529.com to get started.
Take some of that off as profit from what you guys have said. I have nothing in Europe, and I also have nothing in mid-cap, which I've heard you guys mention. What do you think of moving some of those monies to either VOT or VGK? Would those be smart moves for my future to hang on to for 3, 5, or more years? Thank you. I will listen to you on the show. Have a great day.
Well, I definitely think you should be trimming your position in NVIDIA. 15% in one name is way too much, and especially a name like NVIDIA, which is a lot of expectations built into that price. And, you know, they could meet it, but there's a sizable chance that they do not meet it, and you have a large drop in that name at some point. And you're already starting to see a bit of weakness. And, you know, today's news of Google allowing Meta to use some of their internal chips for AI learning and AI infrastructure certainly hurt NVIDIA and could be a shot across the bow for that name. So definitely time to trim there. Now, what should you put it in? Well, VOT is the Vanguard Midcap Growth ETF. And I do like midcaps. I like that you're trying to target midcaps. I wouldn't target midcap growth, though, specifically. I would want something that's a bit more balanced. You know, the standard one that I follow just in the midcap is MDY. That's going to give you more of a blend, you know, growth and value. I would like that one a bit better, or something just a bit more balanced. So not necessarily just that one, but look for a mid-cap fund that has both value blend and growth names. And then VGK is the Vanguard FTSE Europe ETF. And I like this one. I like this one more than VOT because, like you said, you don't have that European exposure. And there are certainly many very solid European names, and most of them are trading at more reasonable valuations than what you find over here. And so the performance of these names have done much better than the domestic market this year. For example, this fund itself, VGK, is up 27% on the year. The S&P is somewhere around, I guess it's bounced back, so we're closer to 14 or 15% on the year. So this is outperforming the S&P by over 10%. This year alone, and it's coming off of very, very reasonable valuations. And so I think there's a lot more room to run. And, you know, I've been a big fan of getting more foreign exposure. So I'd be leaning on VGK more than VOT. And if I'm investing in mid-cap, I want something that's more balanced. Let's go play two in a row from the Invest Talk Voice Bank at 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Luke and Justin. Bill from Philadelphia here. Calling about Nice Systems, ticker symbol NICE. They are an enterprise software solutions service. I've been looking at it for a bit, and it seems to be quite undervalued. Wanted to get your thoughts if it would be a good time to pick some shares up and hold it for, you know, 2 to 5 years. Thanks for what you guys do, and looking forward to hearing your response on the show. Take care.
All right, this is Nice. It's an ADR, and it's headquartered in Israel and develops software to manage and analyze multimedia content and transactional data. And earnings have been growing, but now they're expected to drop next year, down 10% from $12.27 expected this year to $11.08 next year. And so I think the question is, are they really at the forefront? Okay, so they have financial crime and compliance solution, embedded AI solutions that identify risks and help prevent money laundering and fraud, as well as help ensure financial markets compliance in real time. So the question is, are your traditional AI models usurping their value? And I think that's what the market is telling you. So this is a lesson for everybody that you don't want to just look at, you have to be multidisciplinary. That's what we are. We look at what's going on in the broader economy. Is the broader economy growing or shrinking? Is inflation rising or falling? And then you want to look at the fundamentals. You want to look at how strong a company is long term. But you also want to then look at the chart, the technicals. And what I see very often is that everyone just looks at earnings and they say, oh, it looks cheap. And number one, they're not looking at forward-looking earnings. They're looking at backwards earnings. The market does not care what's happening going forward or from in the rearview mirror. It cares what's happening through the windshield. And that's how you must invest. And so this is a name whose earnings are already expected to decline going forward. So it should be trading at a low multiple. So the trading at 9-10 times earnings right now, that's probably what it should be trading at, to be honest with you, because of shrinking profits going forward. And then obviously technology looks to be potentially usurping their product and their value. Now, their free cash flow is still very good, about $700 million trailing 12 months. But that's already peaked, was $770 million in the first quarter of this year, trailing 12 months. So it's already started to fall. And so that is the signal. And that's the market, that decline in the stock is the market saying that we're worried about this. We think that the new paradigm in AI is going to make their technology potentially obsolete. And if that's the case, then this is much, much further to fall because earnings have much, much further to fall. So you want to listen to the chart in this case. And the relative strength is 10. It's below all major moving averages. It's in a clear downtrend. And there's nothing telling me this is turning around anytime soon. So something to watch potentially, but I would not own it because of what the chart is telling me. And you need to listen. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. That's how you get through and ask your question on today's show. Now, 2 days, we have Thanksgiving and then Black Friday, and you have a new report coming from the National Retail Federation. And they're estimating that there's going to be more shoppers out during Black Friday, or at least online during the 5-day stretch, pretty much between Thanksgiving and Cyber Monday. Going to go from 183 million last year to about nearly 187 million this year. But sales growth is likely to continue to decelerate. It decelerated last year and is likely to decelerate once again, even though retailers are launching early promotions. You're already seeing companies like Walmart and Amazon, their Black Friday deals are already running. Macy's has opened a dedicated Black Friday portal on their website. And so sales in November and December in the physical stores and online are forecasted to top $1 trillion for the first time, rising 3.7% in store and 4.2% online. But that is slower than last year's gain of about 4.8%. So once again, it is slowing. Growth is slowing. Now, one of the reasons why you are seeing it's still being, you know, that's still a relatively healthy retail outlook. Yeah, it's lower than last year, but a lot of things are. And we know the deals aren't as good because of tariffs and all of that. But according to Bank of America, shoppers have plenty in the bank. They still hold, across all income levels, they hold more deposits than they did in 2019. So there's still a lot of money out there sloshing in the system. That's one of the reasons why inflation still remains elevated. Yes, it's tariffs, but it's also the fact that consumers, they pulled back from their crazy spending in 2021 and parts of 2022, but they still have elevated cash levels. And so when they really want something, most of them have the money to go out and get it. They're just choosier than they have been over the past few years. So consumer sentiment, yeah, it's bad and it's near multi-decade lows. But household balance sheets are still pretty strong, not just the cash in the bank, but obviously the equity in their homes and the equity values in their portfolios. So all those things add up to a consumer backdrop that continues to slow, but remains fairly healthy. Now, they polled about 8,427 consumers, and two-thirds said they will wait for Thanksgiving weekend deals. That's up from 59% last year. So from 59% to about 66, 67%. So people are searching for more promos, but when they get something they like, they are likely to continue to spend. Now, this is InvestTalk, now with more than 62 million downloads. And we'll tackle more of your questions in 30 seconds. So hang on.
The Thanksgiving holiday is here, and while you're enjoying family, friends, and great food, you might want to think about attending the new free wealth webinar. The title is Year-End Tax Toolkit, RMD Planning, Tax Loss Harvesting, and Deferral Strategies. And it's happening online Tuesday, December 9th from 11 a.m. to 12 noon. That's right, an all-new wealth webinar. Pre-register now at investtalk.com.
InvestTalk, I got a question for you guys. Looking to see if you could give some feedback on whether when you purchase options, the fee that goes into the contract to your brokerage, does that count towards your capital gains? And so essentially, like, you know, if you bought one contract and it was 65 cents, you got to pay your brokerage. Does that 65 cents get removed from the capital gains, or are you paying taxes on your full profit with that not being factored in? It looks like when you do purchase it, it does give you a max profit potential, and it looks like it factors in that contract price. But I was just curious, because if you start trading options and you buy, you know, for example, 80 contracts, then it becomes, you know, kind of expensive, and I feel like that should be factored into that trade decision. So I know it's kind of a tax question, but if you guys have some insight on that, that'd be awesome. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Yeah, that's your cost basis. So whether you're buying an option, you're buying a stock, an ETF, a mutual fund, what you paid your capital outlay for that position, that's your cost basis. And whatever you, when you sell that position, then you, or you exercise that position, you know, you, that's part of your cost basis, and your proceeds are whatever you sell it for, right? And that's simple, no matter what type of asset it is, being bonds, right? You can buy a bond at a discount and it goes up in price and it's redeemed at par. Well, you have capital gains there because it's appreciated over time as well. So yeah, it's certainly part or is your cost basis. Thanks for the call. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-427 is how you ask your question on today's show. And from time to time, we get questions submitted via the InvestTalk website. And says, LRN says, my father and I have been longtime listeners. Appreciate your information. I've owned LRN for several years. Share value recently dropped 40% after the company reported expected weaker Q2 and full year outlook due to the issues with platform upgrade, which resulted in a large decrease in student enrollment. Do you recommend selling the stock and taking current profits or holding the stock with expectations that will recover over the next couple of years? Let's go take a look at LRN. And this is provides online curriculum to 89 virtual and blended schools in 31 states. Yeah, earnings are expected to drop 11% this year from an all-time high of $8.10 last year. And yeah, that was quite the drop. Now down 63% from its 52-week high. And yeah, this is a good example of why you want to, you know, to rebalance, especially these smaller cap names, $2.7 billion market cap. And these are businesses, when they're that small, that they're not ingrained in society. You know, you think of a Coke or a Pepsi or a Procter & Gamble or, you know, even a Walmart or a Costco. These are ingrained in society and they're just kind of steady, consistent businesses. Smaller businesses, they tend to ebb and flow based on really... it's small complexities in what happens with in this case, student enrollment, or it could be student loan availability, et cetera. And so these can be very volatile names. So when you have a big rally, and this certainly has had quite the rally over the past couple of years. Let me take a look at a longer term chart. Yeah, I mean, this has gone from $20 back in 2021 to a recent high of 160. So certainly a one you'd want to trim after that type of run. Now, earnings are return equity about 22%, free cash flow around $300 million. On a $2.7 billion market cap, I think that is decent value. But like you said, where are things headed? And that is the issue with this small cap name. Now, it is at support. So when things go bad in these small cap names, they tend to drop pretty considerably. I think this could go all the way down to about 45. I still kind of like it. If the reason you bought it is still intact, that's what I would ask. You know, why did you buy it? Are it software services and educational services? Are they still make sense in today's economy? And with AI, you know, you can build your own curriculum, your own online learning platform yourself using AI. And I think that's a big question too. So that's what kind of would worry me about holding it long-term and makes me think that probably your original reason for buying it is no longer intact. And therefore, I would probably look for an exit after a bounce. That was Invest Talk. I'm Justin Klein. We have one goal here each and every weekday is to help you achieve your own version of financial freedom. So get your questions in right now at 888-99-CHART.
Invest Talk Innovators. Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero interview company leaders, founders, and visionaries. So head over to the Invest Talk YouTube channel and look for Invest Talk Innovators. Justin Klein is here now and ready to answer your finance and investment questions. Call Invest Talk 888-99-CHART.
Now, we all remember Michael Burry of Big Short fame, and there's some recent news, and he quit his hedge fund, mainly citing issues around disclosure and regulatory compliance constraints that what he says is muzzled his ability to communicate, leading to misunderstandings around his SEC filings that often sparked market turmoil. He did debates. You saw this all the time. You know, Michael Burry did this, YouTube posts and social media posts, and people kind of hung on his every word because he predicted the financial crisis. What's interesting to note, though, is he kind of predicted a lot of negative things happening over the past 15 years or so since the crisis, and most of those didn't come true. So, you know, it goes back to everyone wants to just follow the gurus, whether that's Warren or Michael Burry or some other investor. And I think a lot of times what they have to say can be valuable, but mirroring their trades or doing everything they say makes it seem like they're gods, makes it seem like they are infallible. And the reality is we're all humans. We all make mistakes. We're all fallible, right? We all put our money at the wrong place at the wrong time sometimes. Now, if you do that too often, obviously you can ruin yourself, but you have to take the good with the bad. And that's really how it is. And so, you know, the fact that anybody would hang on any human's every word, it just speaks to, hey, you don't have your own process. You don't have your own way of understanding the markets. And I think it's good to listen to other experts that might be smarter than you, but take it all with a grain of salt and bring it into your thought process. Don't just adopt everything that one person might think or say. Now, that being said, he did start a Substack subscription, and he's made a few posts. One is on about 1999 and 2000, but the most recent one was titled "This Cardinal Sign of a Bubble, Supply Side Gluttony." And he talks about the recent AI boom and compares it to the dot-com era of the 1990s. And he looked at the five public horsemen of today's AI boom: Microsoft, Google, Meta, Amazon, and Oracle are joined by several adolescent startups and promising nearly $3 trillion in spending on AI infrastructure over the next 3 years. Investors absolutely love it. Those were his words. Okay. But he thinks that this is a fool's errand, really. And certainly hits negatively on NVIDIA and Palantir, et cetera. But what's most important about this, I think, is what he really touches on is that $3 trillion in spending. And what's not understood is that there's actually an inverse correlation between CapEx spending and stock market stock performance. Basically saying that when companies gorge on spending gobs of money on capital expenditures, these are usually plant, property, and equipment. That's basically what these infrastructure plays are, right? These CapEx spends are, you know, big warehouses, big data centers, lots of equipment, think NVIDIA chips, etc. And the odds that there's a requisite positive return on investment and really the hurdle of 10, 12, 15%, that's really what return you need and then some on these expenditures for it to make it worthwhile. And history says that more often than not, it's a bad move. And that's why when you look at the AI, you look at the dot-com bubble 1.0, most of those names that went bankrupt and had huge problems were the ones that were laying out huge CapEx expenditures. And so while the market absolutely loves it, like Michael Burry says, I completely agree with him in this sense, because it's just history. It's just statistics. That is what happens. More often than not, the spending leads to negative returns for shareholders and potentially even bondholders. Well, that about does it. I'm Justin Klein. And if today's show made you think about your own financial picture in any way, your investment strategy, asset allocation, taxes, retirement strategy, whatever it is, I encourage you to head over to investtalk.com, click on the portfolio review button, fill it out, and we can schedule a time to help bring clarity and confidence to your situation. And please tell your friends and family about a free podcast download, which you can find anytime at iTunes or Spotify, and head over to our YouTube channel as well and subscribe, and be sure to rate and review on iTunes as well. And a quick reminder, our newest Invest Talk Wealth webinar is set for Tuesday, December 9th. It's only 2 weeks away. It's happening for free, but Luke and I will be sharing important money-saving information that you will need to manage your taxable income going forward, but you do need to pre-register at investtalk.com. Independent thinking, shared success. It's Invest Talk. Good night.
Invest Talk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.